My name is Paula Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's the 17th of July 2009 at 7:15 p.m. Could you please tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
My name's Deirdre Figueredo. My date of birth is the 17th of June 1965 and I'm from Birmingham.
How are you feeling about going on the plinth?
Really excited. Yeah. It's going to be quite memorable. It's raining, but fingers crossed it might blow over in a little while, but who knows.
How did you first hear about the project?
I work in the arts, so I heard it was, you know, when it was all announced and when the competition was running, and but I actually read more about it in the Sky Arts tent at the Hay on Wye Festival.
What is it that you work in?
I run a craft development organisation. We're based in Birmingham. It's called Craftspace, and we work with a lot of makers and artists doing exhibitions and doing a lot of participation work in the arts.
So what is it that you'll be doing today on the plinth?
I am wearing a fantastic garment by a Japanese designer maker based here in London called Keito, and I've admired her work for many years and have shown her work in exhibitions, and I just wanted to celebrate the act of making and to show appreciation for the wonderful ingenuity of our designer makers in this country. So I'm going to be wearing a very sculptural dress of hers, and at the same time I'm going to be unravelling a knitted woolen garment that I've got from a second-hand charity shop, and making a pledge to myself and to others who are watching that I will make it into something new, and you know, sort of in the process I'll be teaching myself a new skill and just appreciating what it is to learn a craft and learn a new skill.
What's the new skill that you'll be teaching yourself?
I'll be teaching myself to knit. I used to knit years ago, but not very adventurously. But knitting has just moved on to a fantastic, very radical art form nowadays. And so it's much more conceptual and much more exciting in a way, although, you know, it still has its domestic roots, and I really like that. So there's an element of kind of DIY about it. And I don't think I'll ever be a, you know, perfect knitter, but I think part of it is also about the conviviality that craft is a fantastic art form for sociability, conviviality. It's about sharing skill, about learning new skills, and I'm hoping to go down to a monthly event that we have down the road from me in a pub, which is a knitting kind of club with to a DJ, so it's knitting to DJs, knitting to music in a pub. So that I've never been to that before, so I'm going to start going, and this will be, you know, this project will have started me off on something new.
So that's you keeping up the pledge that you're making to yourself?
Yes, so I will, and I'm going to document myself making this thing on a blog and on Facebook and things, and then so that you know, people can see that I really have done it. I'm going to really, really do it.
What's the message you're trying to get across today from the plinth?
I think it's really about celebrating the act of making, the art of sharing, you know, those skills with people. It's also about sustainability, so it's about not rushing off to buy, you know, cheaply made garments and then throw them away. So it's kind of trying to be a more responsible consumer, but not in too worthy a way. It's also about having fun, but thinking about, you know, the environment, but also thinking about that we should really value the skill and try and make more things ourselves and think about the quality of what we're buying and, you know, what we're doing, and try and live more sustainably, and also take time, slower paced in life, so that actually you can reflect and appreciate life, reflect on life and appreciate it a bit more. And so slowness is another message, and I like the idea of slow food and slow cooking. So I'm going to take this slow hour, taking the hour out. It has made me reflect on all sorts of things, really.
How did you reach the decision to do what you're doing on the plinth?
It was partly thinking about, you know, having the time, just taking a moment out to think about what a message could be, It's partly that we're working on an exhibition at the moment which is called Taking Time, Craft and the Slow Revolution. So that's been in my mind, and so I was thinking of doing something around the ethos of slowness. And I've actually also put out a call to makers. I don't know if they'll come because of the rain, but to makers to come and join me for my hour on the plinth and to be in Trafalgar Square sharing their skills and making. I think it'd have been a sunny day, they might have been more inclined, but we'll see who turns up. But yes, it started with kind of origami birds, but that was, as the week went on last week, I thought, no, can't do origami birds, have to do something else. Then I thought more about the ideas in our exhibition and ideas around slowness, and thought actually the thing to do might be to, you know, do something quite slow and rhythmic, like unravelling a jumper, and that allows you to think. And I also like the idea that textile and cloth has memory, it retains memory. So this jumper, I'll be thinking about, you know, whose jumper was this, who made it, because it's a hand-knitted jumper, and all the stories associated with that thing, object before I had it, and I'm then going to turn it into something new and may add my story to the life of this garment. And I think if we do more of that with more objects, we're actually, you know, adding stories to our lives rather than just always buying something new and then throwing it away.
So will you turn it into something new on the plinth?
I don't think I'll have time to do that today because I'm not expert in knitting it. So I want to, you know, practice a bit and then find a pattern that's interesting, join this group, you know, this DJ sort of knitting group, get some advice from them. And so it's also about sociability, and then, you know, see if I can get some help. I probably will need some help, but so I want to do something a bit different, which is kind of non-traditional, and knitting is very radical these days. So you know, I might turn it into tags, so, and tag the city, you know, tag Birmingham, or tag where I live locally, and just put tags on trees, or, you know, it could be something like that. It doesn't have to be a thing, it could be something. Oh, I've just thought of that actually. So yeah, it could be a number of things.
So the makers that you've invited along, are they colleagues or is it part of a network?
It's part of a network, yeah, people I've met and worked with, and just a general call out. So there may be people I don't even know who come along. I know there have been some knitters up there already, and they've, you know, done call outs to their sort of knitting friends to come and knit with them. But I've just done a general call out, and so it's just interesting to see how networks spread, and, you know, how messages get out. And I think some people will come who are associated with the craft sector but aren't necessarily makers themselves, so there'll just be this sense of community, of people who work together or socialise together or make together. I don't know, but I just like the idea of the big make. But you know, it's certainly, I've been getting very nice messages back from people saying, you know, it's nice that craft can have a platform in terms of appreciating that skill and ingenuity that people have, and a lot of people have been sort of promoting causes, have they? So it's good to just throw a spotlight on it for a moment.
So you've mentioned in your work that you've created other events, or what is it that you do exactly in your work?
We curate touring exhibitions. So as I say, this a new one that's coming up is around ideas of slowness and how craft relates to that, and actually inherently in craft practice are that ethos around you know, working with materials and knowing, you know, often locally sourcing your materials, a sense of community in terms of that shared experience of making or being part of a community of makers, and the slowness of process, really. So the length of time that it takes to learn and practice a skill and make something that, you know, achieve the thing you want to. And it's quite physical and it's intensive sort of work. But at the same time, that length of process allows something that maybe not all of us have in our working lives, which is that time to reflect and time to actually observe and think in a quite a detailed way. And I think it's those observations that are also valuable to have in society, because artists do, you know, sort of reflect those observations in their work, and that's really interesting. Just, you know, sort of conviviality. We do a lot of work as well with schools and with communities. We're working with refugee group of women at the moment trying to set up a craft social enterprise and bring a kind of diversity to the marketplace that just isn't there at the moment. And in this country, we're very, our craft sector is very predicated on a kind of sole trader model. And I'm really interested in ideas around collective making and the strength that there is in collective making, which I think aesthetically could be different as well. There's something around, you know, that sociability that I think could make some really interesting things and objects that relate to, you know, groups of people rather than a single sort of, you know, sole vision of something. So we're kind of campaigning for collective making at the moment. Also just starting a project looking at youth culture in relation to craft and what does craft mean to 18 to 25 year olds in Birmingham at the moment. As it happens, we're starting it there, and we're also doing a project around boys and craft because we think there are a lot of women involved in craft currently now, and that certainly in the curating and administrative side of things it's largely women as well, and not really enough men in our sector, and men used to be involved in making and craft in days gone by, everything from, you know, making fishing nets and repairing them to making, you know, dry stone walls, and, you know, if you get to that side of agricultural crafts, but also other sorts of things, but boys just aren't being encouraged to consider making with their hands as an important skill, and we're trying to raise a profile of that too.
Will you use the plinth to promote your work in any way?
I didn't want to be too obvious and cheesy because I didn't think that was quite the right thing to do, so try to be more subtle about it. But on my profile I've tried to write up some of the blogs that we've got going about the debates around slowness and craft, and I've put our snuck in our website for the company for Craft Space, and that's, you know, and then I'll try and feed into the Facebook and things on the that associated with one another, and just promote sort of quite, you know, in a subtle way that way rather than being too obvious. But having said that, I've got people around the plinth who are handing out postcards. So, yeah.
I'm conscious that we're running out of time, but just wondered if there's anything else that you'd like to add or tell us before we finish the interview.
I think it's just been a fascinating process. It's week two and I've been watching, dipping in and out of week one, and I have really enjoyed Anthony Gormley's work in the past, so I'm very proud to be part of a living portrait, and be really interesting to see how it is all archived and how it all comes together, but it is a fascinating process.